Well, if you would open your Bibles this evening to Exodus chapter 35, that is where we'll be. And it's quite a long reading. We'll be going through the whole chapter. So if you'll make sure to keep your finger there, we're not going to have it on the PowerPoint. Last time we met, we talked about our purpose as Christians. We have a purpose, part one, and we talked about growth. We lined out that humankind has a purpose in our design. We have a purpose for God, and we have a purpose in Christ. And as this three-part series is focused on the purpose of the Christian, we will be focusing on our purpose in Christ, continuing on. Again, last time we got together, we mentioned three purposes that the Christian has: to grow, to work, and to plant seeds. And we used, I used some illustrations. I brought some hammers up here. I brought different types of seeds, and we talked about that. And we first focused on growth in part one, because without growth in Christ, no one will want to work for Christ. And if one isn't doing successful work for Christ, then they won't want to plant the seeds that lead others to Christ. And therefore, this week, the purpose in Christ we will be focusing on is work. And back to our hammer illustration, I had brought, you know, three or four different types of hammers up here. And the idea behind it was that they all do the same thing. They all look like hammers, but each hammer has a specific purpose. We can look at them as a collective and say, those are hammers. But you don't want to take your masonry hammer and try to hit nails with it, okay? It's not gonna go well. It's not the proper tool for it. And just like hammers, we have been designed to work. God designed us that way from the very... Oops, I've already messed up. From the very beginning, we were given tasks to complete to the glory of God and His creation. At the time, work was a pleasure and an honor before the fall of man. But now that we no longer live in perfection, work is painful, sweaty, and cumbersome. Sometimes our efforts don't yield what we're hoping for. Working to survive is a direct product of our sin. But now we could take this lesson and dig into the intricacies of working and duties with our hands and within our design as humans. But I want to spend the rest of our time together focusing on working for the Lord. And we will find that in Exodus 35. And so in Exodus 35, the tabernacle is being prepared for its construction. And God commands Moses to speak to the people. And Moses begins like this in verse 4, if you will read with me, please. Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skin and goat skin, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece." But God doesn't just call on Israel to have the means to give stuff. All right, so let's continue. "Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tent, its coverings, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars, its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat, and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light, with its utensils and its lamps, and the oil for the light, and the altar of incense with its poles, and the anointing oil and the fragrance incense, and the screen for the door at the door of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars, its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons and for their service as priests." That's a lot of information to take in. But just real quickly, let's condense it to this. God has gathered his people together and said, "We're going to build this tabernacle, and each one of you have an opportunity to serve, to work." And so what does Israel do with this information presented from God? Well, we'll find out as we continue on. Verse 20, please. Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women. All who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets, all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skin or goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands, and they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastpiece and for the spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a freewill offering to the Lord. And there was so much stuff, in fact, that the craftsmen tell Moses in Exodus 36, 5 through 7, that the people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. You can get online and check your regular Bible reader now. So now that we've done that whole chapter. And lastly, I believe it's important that we look at chapter 35, 30 through 35, that God even placed his spirit in some men to not only work with these materials, but to teach others to do this as well. This evening, we're going to break down verse by verse. I'm just joking, Amy. This evening, we're going to focus on some ways that we can work for the Lord. But I want to expound specifically on 4 points taken from this 35th chapter of Exodus. And the first one is found in just the overall text that we read. And it is that God wants all of his people to play a part. He wants all of us to work in one way or another. The people who are being picked out to contribute and build the dwelling place of God are his people. It's not just Moses. It's everyone, the entire gathering, the nation. He did not discriminate in who could and couldn't be a part in his work, except that it should be his people doing his work. God said to the whole of Israel that you have a part to play in this. Look at all these needs I have. There's a reason I wanted to read that entire chapter. There were so many things that needed done, so many ways to contribute. And God said, look at all these needs I have, whether it be contribution in stone or fabric, whether you compare yourself to Moses or you're a skilled craftsman or you're a guy who can barely work a shovel, I want you to be a part of this project. And the same is true today for you and I. Those who have come to God through Jesus have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers. That's you and me. We're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus, himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We work better when we work together, but we all have a part to play in it. And it was clear then that God desired his people to build the tabernacle. And it's clear now, as Paul writes to Ephesus, that we are all in this together. We all have a part to play in becoming God's dwelling place. You and I have a part to play in this body, and God invites all of us to be a part of it. It doesn't matter who you think you are or who you think someone else is. We are in this together, and that's exactly how God wants us to do his work. Together as his people. And that brings us to the second thing I pulled out from this text. There's a certain nature in which our attitudes should be when we're doing God's work. As God's people, we work for Him because it has been commanded, right? That's one of the reasons that we work. All the work accepted by Him that has been done, is being done, and will be done is because God has commanded that we work for Him while on this earth. But there is a nature in which we are to work for Him. He wants us to want to work for Him, if that makes sense. There's the age-old analogy. You have to honor your father and mother, right? If I tell my children to go pick up their room, and they up the stairs, and slam their door and clean their room, yeah, they're doing what I've asked them to do, but are they honoring me in it? Well, no, they're really not. And the same is true for the way in which we see our work for God. Our relationship with God is one of the same manner, because after all, we are to call Him Father. So it should be in our nature to honor Him through our work. Look at all the ways God's workers are described in Exodus 35. In verse 4, generous heart. Verse 21, hearts stirred and spirits moved. Verse 22, willing hearts. Verse 26, stirred hearts. 29, hearts moved to work. Chapter 36, verse 2, hearts stirred. There's an emotional attachment to God and His work that will make us want to do good things for Him. It will stir our emotions and we will want to work for Him. We will enjoy it. Yeah, it may be difficult, but we will love it. Seven times it's made known to us that there was a nature in which God's people are doing the work that He asked of them in building the tabernacle. And I believe they had this wonderful nature because God had, He continued to deliver them over and over again. And those who understood this loved to do what He asked them. They made it apparent that their love to do His work was genuine. Is our love to do God's work apparent? That's a question I have to ask myself sometimes. Haven't we too been delivered from death by God's plan through His Son? Shouldn't we be excited to do His work? If we truly believe that God has delivered us, just like the Israelites did, our hearts and spirits will be stirred and moved to love to doing God's work. The third point that we'll bring from this is that with the right intentions, nothing is too small. And so I say this, find something to contribute. For with the correct intentions, it will not be too small. We read that everyone whose heart stirred them worked. But what kind of work did they do? Well, people had to contribute what they had. So some had little and some had much. Some had gold, some had silver, some had stone. Some had linen, some had wood. Some only had skills to bring, like crafting structures, or some could only spin the goat's hair that someone else brought. Some didn't have anything and they were there to learn. The point here is not that everyone got involved. We already covered that. But that God accepted what was truly a free will offering from the heart, no matter how small it was. Verse 29 of chapter 35. How often do we defeat ourselves before we even start because we're constantly measuring what we offer up against that of somebody else? I think we do it all the time in one way or another, and it's not an efficient way to serve. So what do you have to offer? Can you read Scripture? Can you pray? Can you lead singing? Can you preach or teach? Great. Do those things and continue to do them well. But if that's not where you fall, you're not less than, right? God is looking at the intention of your heart. He's looking at the intention of your heart when you bring what you consider to be small. I promise you that God sees those who serve Him and His people out of their pure desire to do so. Yeah, maybe setting up the fellowship hall for a Bible study isn't getting up here and preaching a sermon, but it's a service that supports further education of God's Word. And you should take pride in setting that fellowship hall up. Yeah, greeting up at the door isn't necessarily getting up here and doing a public prayer. Well, that's fine. There's a good chance you are going to be the Christian face that a hardened heart needs when it comes through that door. See, we all have a part to play, no matter how big or small that you think it is. The work we do is so much more than just what's around this building as well. It's what we do out there. It's easy to be a Christian in here. Can I do God's work out there? Can I do it just because I want to glorify God, no matter how big or small it is? Paul said it best when he was speaking about the empowering of the Holy Spirit to Timothy. Although we don't have the same gifts today, the idea behind this statement is still the same when we read, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but is the same God who empowers them all in everyone." We all have a part to play. And so if you see something that needs done, if you think it's too small, you're afraid to get into something because you don't think it'll be noticed, or it's not you, or it's less than, well, it's okay. Nobody in here is measuring what you're capable of. God is measuring the intent of your heart and the work that you do for Him. Which brings us to our final point this evening, which is to learn and teach God's Word. Or I wrote, people should be teaching and learning God's Word. That's something, that's a must that the church should be doing. When we come to verses 34 of chapter 35, we learn that God has inspired Bezalel and Oholiab to teach all the skillful crafts that it takes to build the tabernacle. And when I say inspired, I don't mean they had a thought. I literally mean that the scripture says they received the Holy Spirit in a miraculous way and were told to teach others what it is that the Spirit was teaching them. This is important because the church should be the place to grow in skill and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. This should be the most, when somebody walks in here, this should be the best place for them to get the information about the scriptures, about Jesus, about God, about what the church is. Are we teaching that? Are we learning it? Those are questions we have to ask ourselves. Yes, we should teach, but also we should be learning. Unfortunately, many successful churches in today's society are set up to be more like country clubs than a place to learn, grow, and apply. It's all about fun and not about the text. And I don't believe God would have it like that. I believe He desires His people to be sharing and growing their faith when they come together. It is important that our works are learning and teaching. And God makes this clear through Paul when he writes to Timothy in a favorite verse of everybody's. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." There's not a lot of great bunch of detail that can go into work. I can talk about what we should be doing or how we should be doing it, but most of us here are baptized Christians. We know how and why and when and we should be doing things. I shouldn't have to say that. The idea is to bring these points out and ask ourselves, how are we working? And so in conclusion, there are four ways that God points to us in Exodus 35 that He wants His people to work for Him. God wants us all to play a part, meaning He wants us all to be involved. Now, that doesn't mean, again, getting up here or only being involved in what goes on at the times we come to this building. Christianity is a lifestyle. It's what we do. It's who we are. It's not something we put on and take off. We all need to be playing a part, whether it's here in this building or out there. The nature of how we work is important to Him. We need to be willing. We need to be stirred. We need to be moved. And sometimes And I'll say this, I'll be honest, say it. Sometimes we just need to show up and that emotion will come later. Does that make sense? Yeah, because, you know, Mother's Day. My whole day's taken up. I don't get to spend any time with my wife today. However, I'm so glad that I'm here. I'm so glad we got to do these things together. And I wouldn't take it back. Not at all. No contribution. Number three, no contribution to God's kingdom is too small if you have the right intentions. It doesn't matter if you're making a pot of coffee for a group over here that are learning to study the Bible, or if you're up in this pulpit, if you're knocking doors, if you are shaking hands with people at the door, you're opening the door for the lady at Walmart, you know, whatever it is. If your intentions are right, there is no too small of a thing that you can do for God. And finally, God's people should learn and teach His work so that we can be the best workers, right? When I became a Christian, a really truly believing Christian, my work ethic completely changed. And I'm just talking about me in general. For other people, it's different, I guess. But I glorify God through the things that I do. And so I became one of the best workers, in my opinion. I gave my best, because of who it is that I represent. So when we work, we will become the best workers if we're doing it for the Lord in the right intentions. If we apply ourselves in these areas, we will be successful workers for God, and some great things will happen, and I'll mention three. There will be measurable growth, and I don't mean day to day, right? As Mike said in his lesson, his series, A More Perfect You, sometimes you need to measure your growth by the year, because you're going to defeat yourself if you're doing it every day sometimes. But there will be measurable growth if you really are trying to apply yourself in work. We will watch ourselves grow, and it will encourage us to keep at it. Next, as we try new things, courage will come, and we'll try more things, newer things, bigger things. One of my favorite things is going around and asking people if they'll teach a class or if they'll lead singing. They're like, "Oh no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Charlie said I can't do that." Now Charlie's up here leading songs. Matt said he couldn't teach a class. Are you teaching class now? Oh man, he's teaching class. Right? Look at all these things we can do if we just encourage each other in our work. Pretty amazing. As we see God blessing our efforts, we will overcome the anxiety, so to speak, of trying new things or taking on bigger tasks. And that will be an encouragement not just to us, but the people who around us who are seeing us grow. And that will be great. And finally, as we grow in our work, we will want to plant seeds. That will be a desire to plant seeds for others to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Come be a part of this life. Come figure out how great this is. I can't wait to share it with you. Well, how do you know it's good? Because look at all these things over here that I can prove to you. That's why it's good. So we'll be talking about that in part three. And so as we close tonight, I'd like to ask you, not are you working, but how are you working? Are you working with the proper nature? Are you working with the proper people? Are you working outside of these doors? These are all questions that we need to be asking ourselves. And in closing, I'd like to invite anyone who has a need. If you want to be plugged in with what's going on, I've got Bible studies coming out my ears. If you want to take on a Bible study during the week, you know, like we've got things going on here. We're praying. There's so much going on. If you want to be involved, there's a way to be involved. No contribution is too small for the Lord if you have the right intentions. So if you have a need, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.